Welcome to the Do You Know Him Telford podcast, brought to you by Telford Christians Together. 5 minutes to bring peace to your day. When our group of local leaders first produced the list of topics for the 10 weeks of hashtag Do You Know Him Telford, my eye naturally stopped at this week's theme, Jesus the Revolutionary. If I'm honest, my initial reaction wasn't all that positive, but as I reflected on it, my mind was changed. It may not be a comfortable way of describing Jesus, possibly because we have in mind some unsavoury images of revolutionary figures, but we often refer to the kingdom of God as the upside-down kingdom. Surely that's a revolution, isn't it? The kingdom of God does turn things on their head, as Jesus in the synagogue in Nazareth underlines, as he deliberately picks his reading from Isaiah chapter 61, a passage about massive social change. It concludes by announcing the year of the Lord's favour, the year of Jubilee, in which all debts were cancelled, all slaves set free, and all lands returned to their original owner. It was the equivalent of an economic reboot. Our other reading from Isaiah chapter 58 is part of the same chunk of the book. If you take the chapter as a whole, the turning on its head starts right from the beginning. The people of God are doing what they think is required by God. They're fasting and praying and worshipping. They appear to be the faithful people of God. The reality is that they're going through the motions. Their hearts are far from God. And this is not what God is looking for. There then comes a very interesting sequence of events. Again, it's counterintuitive. It's back to front. God says there are some things you need to deal with. There are deep-seated injustices in your society that you're ignoring. Oppressed people need to be set free. People need feeding and clothing. And it seems to me that there's something here about both dealing with the immediate issues but also the underlying causes. People are going hungry and have no clothes because of the injustice and oppression, but both need dealing with. Unlike their worship, God is calling for a heartfelt response. In verse 10, he says, "If you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry." It's an aside, really, but once again, we cannot separate our worship of God and our relationships with human beings. Those around us, can we? It's the great commandment, isn't it? The greatest commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, and your neighbour as yourself. As I said, the order of this is fascinating. God says, if you do these things, then a load of spiritual blessings will fall upon you too. The passage has a series of, if you do this, then this is what you'll receive. And then it goes again, if you do this, then this is what you'll receive. God promises salvation, healing, protection, his answering presence, guidance, strength, provision, flourishing, if they do these things. What's this then? Reward for doing the right thing? Are these gifts to be earned by doing right actions? Where's the God of grace in all this? I wonder, is it not in the process of doing these things, the process of getting engaged in the real issues of those around us, the process of spending ourselves on behalf of others, that brings about a change in our hearts? And all of this brings us into alignment with God and his purposes. It's not rewards. It's not earned. It's the consequence of doing the right things with the right heart. In John Wesley's early days of faith, he deliberately spent time with a variety of different Christian groups. One of them was very pious. They believed that if they sought God earnestly enough, he would change their hearts and they'd be inspired to do good things from a good heart. When Wesley settled on an effective method for making disciples, he took the opposite view. He encouraged disciples to do the right thing. He believed that active service led to personal holiness, the transformation of our hearts, which of course was always his aim. And that seems quite close to the sequence of events and the promises in Isaiah 58. To ponder. We're living in a society where the needs seem to be increasing weekly, don't they? And no one of us have all the answers. But if we each play our part, we can make a difference. What's your part? Is it practical help? Or is it looking to deal with the root causes of injustice and oppression? Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your bold announcement in the synagogue in Nazareth. Thank you that you want to continue your work in and through me. Show me the place that you have for me. Give me the courage to embrace that, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm Chris Densham, and I look forward to sharing with you in our next podcast.